Let's pray for the children and for ourselves as we come to hear what God has to say to us today. Lord, once more we thank you for the freedom that we have in this country to meet together and to talk about the Bible, not only when we come together in a place like this, but every day, every time we meet together, every time with our children, every time with our friends, when we're out in the road. Lord, how blessed we are. And so, Lord, we thank you and pray that you will help us as we come to think about what the Bible has to say to us today and to hear about your work in the world. And Lord, we pray especially for the children, that you'll bless them this morning. We ask you to help JJ as he teaches them. We pray that they too may understand more and more of your love and care for them. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. In our gospel reading at the Lord's table last week, we heard about Jesus' baptism by John, when God publicly affirmed his son in a spectacular way. It marked the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, which would end with his death on the cross for the sins of the world and his resurrection for our salvation. Shortly after Jesus was baptized, he went into the wilderness where the devil sought to deflect Jesus from his rescue mission. Among the things Satan offered Jesus was all the authority and splendor of the world if only he would bow down to Satan. Of course, it's unthinkable that Jesus would have done that, but of course Jesus refused it. He reminded Satan that Scripture says we should worship only God. Jesus' ministry on earth would not be to the high and mighty, the people with money and privilege, or the wheeler-dealers of the nation. He had a special concern for the poor, the powerless, the underprivileged. And as he had said in his first recorded sermon that Matt read for us just now, he had come to be the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy about a Messiah, bringing in Messiah's kingdom of justice and peace. I'm just going to read verses 18 and 19 again of chapter 4 of Luke. This is Jesus speaking and quoting Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. Jesus' rule has been called the upside-down kingdom, involving as it does the opportunity for wholeness, that is, healing and release, to disadvantaged people, the ones at the bottom of the pile. In Christ's countercultural community, we are not clambering over one another to get to the position of greatest power or privilege, but we follow the commands of the one who came among us as a servant, who said, the most important thing is to love God with all we have and are, and to love our neighbours as we love ourselves. We try and live like Jesus, the one who went about doing good. Care for people in need has been a feature of the Christian community right from the beginning. Here's a description from the first year after Jesus had returned to the Father, when the believers were still meeting regularly in the Jerusalem temple, beginning at Acts chapter 4, verse 32. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there was no needy person among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. 10 years later, Paul was heavily involved in encouraging Christians from the churches throughout the Roman Empire to respond to the needs of Christians in Judea. Although Paul did not request personal support, he spent close to 10 years raising funds for what is commonly referred to as the Jerusalem Collection. This was a collection he took up among the Gentile churches to help Judean believers who were facing harder than usual economic times as a result of a famine during the mid to late 40s. Paul and Barnabas made an initial famine relief visit to Jerusalem in 46 and delivered a monetary gift from the church at Antioch. That's in Acts chapter 11. At that time, the Jerusalem church expressed the hope that the believers associated with Paul would continue to remember the Judean believers, which Paul was more than eager to do. The collection effort was successfully completed more than 10 years later in AD 57, and the funds were delivered by Paul and a group of delegates chosen by the contributing Gentile churches. In Romans, Paul states that the churches of Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem, but the actual list of contributing churches is much longer. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul encourages the donors and potential donors with the wonderful benefits that flow from providing for needy fellow believers. Chapter 9, verse 12. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you've proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. From Old Testament times right to today, generosity to the poor has been a feature of the response of God's people to disadvantage and oppression. When we hear of others meeting the physical needs of broken people, Jesus encourages us to do the same thing. And Baptist World Aid Australia is a channel for such ministry. Established by the Baptist Union of Australia, it was born out of a response to the sufferings caused in World War II. Its original name was the Australian Baptist World Aid and Relief Committee. That's a bit of a mouthful, isn't it? And that was shortened, as things like this always are, to its initials, ABWARC, which still sounds a bit ugly, doesn't it? Anyway, the Australian Baptist World Aid and Relief Committee provided disaster relief in the form of shelter, food, clothing and financial assistance to refugees and displaced persons in Europe. It was a grassroots movement made up of Christians from local Baptist churches, in Australia that is, who out of love gave of themselves to help end extreme poverty. The committee continued through the second half of last century, responding to natural disasters, mostly in our region, and funding development activities through Baptist partners, often what was then called Australian Baptist Missionary Society, shortened to ABMS, which is now called Global Interaction, which although it's written down GIA, I've not heard anybody use that so regularly as they used to do ABMS. Anyway, they were the Baptist partners. The chair of the Australian Baptist World Aid and Relief Committee, Reverend Alan Pryor, learned of the hardship that children in India were facing because of poverty. And in 1974, a group of volunteers, mostly from French's Forest Baptist Church, started their child support program, then known as Support an Orphan, shortened to signalling the beginning of an organizational focus on children, which still continues. Today, Baptist World Aid is one of the major Australian not-for-profit Christian aid and development organizations, fully accredited by the Australian government, with a rich heritage and more than 50 years' experience. I've grown, learned and changed, always striving to love poor communities in the most practical and helpful ways. Much of the early work was done by volunteers, but I think I was the third employee of the organisation when I joined it in 1993. It was just emerging from being a tabletop operation. I guess you can imagine what that means. I didn't know what it meant when I first heard it many years ago. It means it was just people gathered around a table, organising things, passing bits of paper to one another. It was emerging from that as it was growing and became, not a great many years after I joined, an incorporated entity, accountable to the Baptist Union of Australia, as it always has been, which is now, by the way, known as Australian Baptist Ministries, and it still is accountable to them today. There was quite an expansion in the number of employees during my time there, and more so since. Upendra joined in 2009, that's right? Yep. And still looks after the computer network, correct? Yep. Which has become, as you can imagine these days, a very important role in the organisation. And Upendra is a great worker there and loved by everybody, as you could well imagine, I'm sure. Baptist World Australia's Aid Australia's most recent annual report reflects that in that year, their work made a difference in the lives of almost 1 million people. In 2014-15, they received $13 million, $13 million from donations and $6 million in government grants. This is what they say about their work. Our vision is for a world where poverty has ended and all people enjoy the fullness of life God intends. We work to achieve our vision through two equally important partnerships. We partner with like-minded agencies overseas to empower communities to lift themselves out of poverty, challenge injustice, and build resilience. We partner with Christians and churches in Australia, particularly those Baptist churches, in generous giving, ethical consumption, courageous advocacy, and faithful prayer in order to achieve justice for people living in poverty. Our work is about showing Christ's love in action in these four important ways. Community development projects, which build lasting solutions to poverty for entire communities. Child sponsorship program assists children to break down the barriers of poverty for themselves and for their whole community. And that's an exciting story in itself. Our work in disaster saves lives before, during and after disaster strikes. We stand with the oppressed and marginalised and advocate for a more just world. We currently have 38 Christian partners implementing 77 projects across 22 countries. We provide our Christian partners with financial support, accountability and training, and help them to grow in effectiveness as agents of change in their communities. In doing so, we learn from our Christian partners, adding to our own knowledge of good development in the process. Important point there, that the learning is mutual. The partners learn from Baptist World Aid Australia, and Baptist World Aid Australia learns from its partners. One successful fundraising program, very successful fundraising program, which we're featuring today and will also be available on the 4th and the 11th of December, is the Little Book of Big Ideas, the Little Book of Big Gift Ideas. I'll get that right in a minute. One more time. The Little Book of Big Gift Ideas. Here are, as you can see, some of the gift ideas here. Now, you can't read those very much, but I'm sure some of the people at the front can see some of the prices. What can you see, Sue? Which figure took your attention? Ah, and you, Sue, what did you see? Goats for $40. There we are. Yes, and that program is called Don't Kid Around. Somebody's exercising some attempts at humour. So there's a lot there. The prices range from 5, 10, 15. Those are the ones of a modest price. These are ones of a little more. Now, you might be wondering, how does that all connect? Well, here we are. They say, as you might expect, just for the record, we don't put goats, bees and fish into boxes and mail them overseas. Each gift represents the life-changing, kingdom-oriented work of these projects that your donation supports. When you select a gift card for a family member or a loved one, you're also making a donation to a community development project. Your donation will fund vital community development projects that include the activity featured on your card. The dollar value listed for each card is an estimate of how much the activity costs the project that runs it. For every gift you select, there is a unique gift card which can be given in place of a present. The cards don't mention a dollar value, they just explain how this gift is helping some of the world's poorest communities. I think most of you would have come across this idea in various places these days. Each of these lovely gifts represents the opportunity of a lifetime, a sustainable future for one person, one family, one community. A beautiful gift, not just from you, but from God. Here's an example of how these life-changing, kingdom-centered gifts have an impact in empowering communities. And I hope, I'm going to look at it myself because I don't know how it's turned out, there's a picture on the screen. Yes, I didn't think it was going to come out all that clearly, but I think if you look, you can see there's somebody standing on the right-hand side wearing a sari. At the back, there's like a stall. And in the foreground and to the left, there are goats. So here's the story of that picture. Imagine that you have a physical disability and live in a remote village in Nepal. You own very little land, so growing enough food is impossible. And you have four children to feed. This is what life was like for Shyamkala Dobi. But then she learned to read and write, and everything changed. Shyamkala received adult literacy training from our Christian partner, International Nepal Fellowship. And on here it says $5. How do you spell literacy, it says, $5. And so she writes, I am now able to speak confidently. I am able to read, write, and do simple calculation. Take all that for granted, don't you? Can you imagine there are people living in a village without any help or income and they can't read, write, or do simple calculations? Just astonishing, really. After her training, Shyamkala took a loan from her savings group and bought two goats. Now she has the self-belief she needs to run her own small business. And it's all thanks to her new literacy and numeracy skills. With her determination to create a better life for her children, Shyamkala turned her two goats into seven. I think the goats contributed that a bit too. Better still, her business is doing so well that she can easily feed her family. For Shyamkala, the big gift of adult literacy means more than, and here's the big, one of the cards for the big gift of adult literacy. You can see there's a teacher, I guess, standing by a blackboard with 1 + 1 on it, and a child sitting in front of her raising a hand obviously knows the answer. For Shyamkala, the big gift of adult literacy means more than knowing how to read or write. It means having the confidence to start a profitable business. It means feeding her family. For Shyamkala, the big gifts are about the bigger picture. When I went to work for Baptist World Aid Australia, and Jan and I moved to French's Forest to live next door to the office. Westview commended us and saw our going as going to represent Westview Baptist Church at Baptist World Aid. I hope we can still see that Upendra is doing that too. Upendra is representing Westview Baptist Church at Baptist World Aid. And throughout its lifetime, Westview Church has shown active interest in supporting children through SAYA, through the SAYA sponsorship program, as well as members giving to the organisation for its development and disaster management programs. And I feel that I can say, because I still work there as a volunteer now, on behalf of Baptist World Aid, your support and contributions in so many ways are very much appreciated. I just want to take you back to those words from 2 Corinthians again. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but it is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you've proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Just in case you haven't realised it, we have a supply of the cards here today. Jan will be happy to help you after the second part of our meeting this morning. And again, as I said, on the not next Sunday, but the two Sundays after that. You can also take a leaflet or a booklet and you can place your orders directly if you want to. So let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the love of God which is shed abroad in our hearts and which at the very basis was the motivating power for the establishment of Baptist World Aid Australia as it then was just after the Second World War. We thank you for the many people that have been helped. We thank you for the generosity of Baptist people down through all those years. Thank you for the development of the organisation so that it is such a well-respected organisation in the aid and development community. But we thank you most of all for the people whose lives have been changed because of the work that has been supported around the world, in Africa, South Asia, in Papua New Guinea, and in East Asia too. Lord, bless the staff at Baptist World Aid, bless John Hickey, the CEO, help Upendra every day in the important work that he does, give him patience and grace, and Lord, may he there be your representative, but also a good representative of Westview Baptist Church. So we thank you, Lord, for this time when we've been able to think about this work, and we pray for your blessing on the rest of our time together. In Jesus' name, amen.